based on the 7 o'clock session. Thank you for coming. I think that the attendance in terms of size and quality is going to help us have a fairly interactive session. And a number of you have already seen a large portion of the presentation that we are going to go through, but I would like to make sure that we get a chance to interact on the structure of the document that we're going to look at. I'll go quickly over the agenda, and I'll make a couple comments at the end on other topics that I want to add. So we'll talk mainly about the budget process this morning, going over the guiding principles that that are going to affect the FY15 process. We'll look at the planning phases and the timeline, and we'll spend a bit of time there to really try to clarify the various steps of the process for this fiscal year 15. We will spend a bit of time also on talking about the content and the structure of the content, and I know that those of you that are who are here have input to provide on the structure of the content. So I would like very much that we can spend a bit of time together on that. We'll look at the additional budget process. Additional budget requests process as well. And we'll share feedback from the budget process improvement working group who met once at the end of October and provided a sermon of feedback. And we will address some of the points that have been mentioned, but I wanted you to have an understanding of what that group did, knowing that a number of you present here today were part of that group. I will, let's stick to that for a minute. I will try to be relatively quick outside of the main points that we've highlighted we would go over, so that we can have as much time for interaction. Based on the size of this group, as opposed to the usual suggestion that I make that we go through the entire presentation and then go over questions, I'm thinking that I would actually prefer that we go over questions and comments on the slides while we're presenting them, because we can then have a more interactive and more immediately reactive discussion on the subjects that we're going to talk to, and it may be a little bit easier for you to make the comments that you may have that the subject will bring up. I would like to keep 5-10 minutes at the end of this session to talk about financial reporting, which is not in the agenda here, which is on the budget, to just mention two different processes or documents that we have produced and that we will publish and that have financial information in it, just so that you are aware of them and that you can look at them in the future and expect them on a regular basis. Let's move on. I wanted to bring up a little bit the subject of our environment in which we will work through the fiscal year 15 process this year. There's a number of impacting environment events that affect what we're going to do this year and how we're going to do it. The strategic planning process in the ICANN panels, the ICANN strategy panels, there's been a lot of discussions about these specific panels over the past few days. The work on the strategic planning process that is going on and that will be completed about by the end of April will obviously impact the process for FY15 by, as we have discussed already over the past few months, by the fact that we will not have the historical strategic input, let me rephrase, the input from the strategic planning process to use as part of the operating and budget plan development. We will not have that information available as we start the operating plan and budget. As a result, we are going to adapt our process to enable to allow ourselves to have a certain amount of information that we would normally have out of the strategic planning, but we will not have this year. So we'll look at how we are addressing that in the further down the presentation. The ATRT2 working group has been working on what I would call a planning, if not a financial planning recommendation. I don't know if any one of you have seen the draft of their recommendations. We have discussed with the had a couple of meetings now with the members of the ATRT2 team that work on the subject, and on their recommendation. Generally speaking, we're very aligned. I think their recommendation makes a lot of sense. It's very aligned with the need and the direction of developing, improving the amount of information and the process of validation of the information that is shared with the community, with the board. So I think it's very aligned with the direction that we've tried to go towards with the finance, the budget finance working group, and the discussions that we have had over the past few months or the past year. So very, very comfortable with the objectives that the recommendation, which is the recommendation number 12, I think, from the ATRT2 is providing. Of course, we will take that into account as well in the when it's finalized in the budget process. The general internet governance activity, we just come out of the 7 o'clock meeting this morning. How is that going to affect what is going to happen over the next few months and what we should plan for FY15 is a question mark at this stage. So that's part of our environment as well. Next slide. As a result, just a few thoughts here. It's not meant to be comprehensive, but I'm expecting that the internet governance discussions may lead to unknown events or activities or processes, when I say unknown now, unpredictable at the time we finalize an FY15 budget, but that may nonetheless affect FY15. It's not that it's necessarily a problem. A budget is a budget at one point of time. It's nearly obsolete the day after it's finalized, right? Things change, and that's fine. The extent of the impact of events, processes, activities relative to internet governance or honestly anything else. But in this case, this is the one thing that we know is going on, but that we don't know how it will materialize itself, reduces our visibility or predictability, at least on that part of the activities of FY15. And therefore, we will have, a certain amount of difficulties in predicting what's going to happen then. Now, in the next few months. Are we going to have more visibility? Hopefully, yes. Is it going to be helpful for to be taken into account in our FY15 plan? I'm hoping yes, but I also want to make sure that we allow ourselves to have sufficient flexibility in our budget to be able to take into account when they come things that could not necessarily be planned. As a result, the first idea... Yes, Rolf, go ahead.
You want us to ask questions now?
Please, go ahead.
You have two options. If there are things that you see but you cannot really calculate, and one is increase your contingency, that somehow gives you the possibility to spend the money without additional agreements, or you can just have a you can have a budget overshoot. And
sorry,
then you can spend more than budgeted. But that means that you will have to request from whoever is supervising the budget to spend additional money. Why would you choose for increasing the contingency portion? Because that's a kind of inflating your budget with, may I call it, air? It gets bigger, but there are no specified expense areas.
So... I wasn't specific enough when I laid this out. When I suggest to increase the contingency, it's actually within the same limit. Instead of having a contingency, let's say 5% of a total that's 100, having a contingency that's 10% of a total that's 100. So not increasing the total with the increase of the contingency, but increasing the amount of the contingency and therefore reducing the amount of identified expenses. So planning for a lower spend so that we have more flexibility, if you see what I'm saying.
Okay, I see what you say, but I think... in practice, it will be you will calculate your budget and you will add your 10% contingency instead of calculating your budget and then from the 100% say 10% of these 100 is contingency. Do you see what I mean? The difference is between adding 10% and having 110% or having 100% and specifying, and that's a contradiction, specifying 10% as a contingency. But okay, let's not go into it too much.
Okay.
I'm in favor of calculating budgets rather narrowly and then force yourself to either choose on what you spend and on what you won't spend or get permission to increase your expenditures.
So I'm not sure that everything is mutually exclusive, by the way.
No, it's not.
Right? But I hear your point. I think we are at the stage where we can structure the process to allow for what I was sharing and I have in mind, in the sense of if we would normally have a 5% contingency and plan for 95% therefore spend, I think we can today have as an assumption to plan for 90% and have a bigger contingency. I think we can do that today. It's a choice that we still have for now. I agree with you that there may be circumstances in the development and in the throughout the year that may force us to creep up, and I'm hoping that we can avoid that, but I recognize it's a risk, but I think we are at the point where we can plan for it.
I can see one recommendation from the SOP working group coming, and that is that a 10% reduction of your budget.
Sure. and I can see how we can respond proactively is by justifying well why the expenses are what they are. Yes.
Javier, my name is Hagen Hulsch, having been responsible for finances on the board a couple of years ago. the discussion you are raising is always happening. It's always good to reduce the budget for whatever percentage in order to achieve more efficiency. But what you do is you have an operational plan, which is really in this broad multi-stakeholder community, let's say, developed and then agreed. And based on this operational plan, you're also having to do this. Even the five-year strategy is implemented into an operational plan. That's why you have a wonderful, I think, a very effective mechanism how to control finance and to find out how to most effectively it is done. Sometimes you have to cut limits and say, we only have so much money, that's why we cannot do this and this and this, or not yet do this and this and this. And we have always done this over the years. And retrospectively, I believe it worked rather well. You know, there are always small weaknesses, but it worked rather well. I'm very pleased to see what Javier is doing right now with his effort to get the finances, let's say, handled most effectively.
Thank you. Chuck, and then a very quick comment, because we need to move on to the substance of our planning process, which, by the way, is going to address a number of the comments that we're making now.
Okay, almost all the time I agree with Roloff, and in fact, ideally, I would like what you're suggesting as well. But it looks like, based on our last call, those that were on the call that you hosted, that we're going to be in the same situation we've been in the past, where we haven't had enough detail to really adequately impact what the board approves. So in that context, provided there are some controls for that contingency fund and using it to maybe implement some community recommendations that got in too late to be in the final budget, I can see some value in that. Obviously, the devil's in the details, to use that expression. And so I am interested to see how that works, because if we're in the same boat we've been in the past, we get the detail in the budget when it's too late to make any impact. So if there's a larger contingency fund to deal with some of those things, that could be a positive. I guess I want to see where it's going.
Okay. Chris,
sorry, just very quickly,
then we move on.
Am I right in saying we haven't used contingency in the last few years at all? Have we drawn
in the last few years? We haven't, or to a small extent. Pardon me. Last year we haven't. The year before we have, and the year before that I don't remember.
We have used it this year?
No. Not in FY13. In FY13, we haven't. This past year that closed in FY13.
Yeah, but we are using it this year.
In FY14?
Yeah.
Yes, I didn't say that using it.
But we can come back to 5 years ago, but this year we use it, and we for some specific topics, and it's... I don't know by heart, but if you want to know...
Well, I can list them if you would like.
Yeah, it must be no problem.
So, I can provide that information. It's very easy, but I don't want to get into that subject because we're going to miss otherwise going through the agenda. Next slide, please. So to the comment that you made a little bit earlier, our target planning process, and I want to emphasize target planning process, is, to your point, to have a five-year strategy with objectives, goals by year, with a financial quantification, meaning financial statements, high level, but financial statements that help measure the resources and the impact of the strategy, because you can have a strategy to save the world, but not necessarily the funds for it. So having financial statements at a high level that help measuring the overall impact or anticipated impact of the strategy is important at that level. And we will precise in the next few weeks or months, we will precise what we think fits in each phase, what name we should provide to each phase and what is the content of each phase and the deliverables, because I recognize that a lot of us understand differently strategy, planning, operating plan, and sometimes budget, even though I think there's probably a little bit more consensus on budget. But I think that we tend to not necessarily put the same vocabulary behind the same words. And for ICANN, we need to precise that information. This is the target process. As we know, this year we haven't had the strategic input, which is currently being developed through the strategic planning process that has started towards April 2013, is continuing now. We'll then plug in the input of the ICANN strategy panels and we'll synthesize all this information between February and April, basically, with community input, the public comment process following the ICANN strategy panels, and be finalized towards April or May with a board vote. So that information, we don't have it right now to enter into the FY15 planning process, which is why we're going to have an intermediate one. Let's go. So that's the target process, which we will target to implement, basically, in the FY16 planning process, which we will do during FY15. Next slide. So, sorry, it's a bit busy. But let's go over the high-level planning of this FY15 year. Here, as we were just indicating, we have the ICANN strategy panel process, a draft produced in January, a public comment process period, a discussion finalization, and a final document approximately towards the end of April. That's what we just said. While that is going to happen, we will develop the FY15 ops plan and budget. We'll talk a little bit about the additional SO and AC budget process, which will run from early December to the end of March. And then, to try to take into account the fact that we do not have a strategic plan to go by that provides objectives, priorities for FY15. The approach that we're suggesting to retain is to develop what I've called here an operating plan, and I'm hoping I will not create more confusion by using that word. Develop an operating plan that sets objectives for the end of June 15. With a high level, and I want to make sure we have this discussion, Chuck, with a high level resource measurement. So department functions, this is what we want to get accomplished by the end of June, and this is the amount of resources that we're expecting it to cost. That set of objectives. So this is about the activities of each function of the organization with either recurring activities, managing AP, managing the budget process, outreach, HR operations, and so on. And laying out specific projects that we're expecting will need to be carried out during the fiscal year. On a function-by-function basis, setting the objectives, really the objectives in terms of where do we want to be at the end of June? What do we want to have accomplished by then? And laying this out at a level of granularity, and we'll look at it a little bit later, that I'm expecting to be basically by function of the organizations, global stakeholder engagement, operations, Susanna is here, Susanna's scope of responsibility is finance, HR, admin, project management, meetings, operations. So a few departments. For each of these departments, having a set of objectives. What do we want to get accomplished? The objective, the assessment of the metrics, whether they are quantifiable or milestones to achieve by the end of that period, and an assessment of the resources associated with those objectives. This is a first step. It's not the full detail, Chuck. And what I want we can then do out of that is understand these objectives, be able to present them to the community to receive feedback through a public comment process that allows to say, we understand what is being done, we agree that that should be done, but this, don't understand it, what is it going to entail, or we don't agree necessarily with the objective that's set for that function. And by the way, where is another subject that I don't find in the objectives of that function, so that we can at least have a consensus on what are the objectives of the organization over the next 15 months, 18 months by then. It's not yet the details. It's before we build the details, so that then we have a chance to affect what comes into the budget on the basis of that input. And I want to be clear that the real purpose of this is to allow to have I wouldn't say strategic, but at least tactical discussion as to what goes into the activities of the organization, and that we allow the community to be able to have an understanding of it and an input into it before we develop the detail. Because once we have the detail, which is a long process of production, it's not it's not a week, it's a long process of production. Once we have the detail, it's too late to change significantly anything. And I want to emphasize that it's very difficult, as you probably know, to change structurally something that's been developed very detailed, in a very detailed manner, especially when we are finding ourselves here. Chuck, please.
Thanks, Xavier. So correct me if I'm wrong, but this doesn't really look any different to me than what we've been doing for many years, where we had a budget framework that had just high-level information, and then we later, about the same time as this, got a budget, and it was too late to make meaningful comments at that point because of board approval. So what I guess my question is then, if I'm wrong on that, how does this what I'd like you to explain is how this differs from what we've done for many years.
So what I believe that differs is that what differs from this previous step, and I do recognize and I do agree that the structure of the process is similar to what we've had in the past, with a framework, high level, and then the budget more detailed. The difference is that the information here is aiming at setting objectives as opposed to displaying at a high level, without details, a level of effort. It's a little bit different in the sense that, and hopefully it's fundamentally different, in the sense that when you formulate a level of effort without details, you don't understand what the effort is. And in order to understand what it accomplishes, you need to go to the details, which I think is what you've been saying for a long time. If you set an objective, then you can identify you can measure the resources that are required to achieve that objective. But basically, that objective is the rationale as to why you're spending the money. And this is what I want to make sure we give ourselves the opportunity to produce this year, is why are we doing this? to achieve that objective. We haven't had that information in the past. And we need to be able to provide the community from just a purely simple transparency and accountability perspective. This is why we are doing this, for that objective. So it's a challenging exercise. This is the main difference between the process next year, this coming year, and the previous versions. And I agree with you that the high-level first phase, public comment, the detailed budget, public comment, looks very much like what we've done, not last year, but the years before, basically. I agree with you. You're right. The difference is to define objectives and out of the objectives, be able to formulate the resources. Before, we've only formulated the resources, and at a high level. And not necessarily be able to provide at that stage the information that allows to really weigh into it. And to your point, then you have it there, not necessarily as satisfying as you would like, but you have some of that there, and to your point, it's too late. I want to try to allow the discussion on what should be in the budget or should not be in the budget when we develop it, then so that we can do something about it. Because here we can't do anything about it anymore. It's too late. Yes, please.
Very briefly, this is Chuck again. And that coming back to the contingency fund, if a large portion of that contingency fund was to allow for addressing public comments that came in too late to make a change to the budget, that's where I would see some value to that kind of approach. Does that make sense?
I think it's a good idea. Just on that, and then we have to Jenny. I'm not expecting the input from the community to only be about what's not in the budget, right? So, because if it's just to increase the amount of resources, I'm not sure it's necessarily very productive. I'm not saying it shouldn't be about also what's not in the budget and should be, but it shouldn't be just about that.
I think that the
Tijani Benjima for
The record. I think that the origin of the ambiguity came from the terminology. You are still calling it operating plan, while it is not. It is defining the objectives, and defining the objectives is far different from the operating plan. This year, Chuck, we will have more compressed time. We will have all together at the end. Before, it was better. We had at least the framework before, and we can discuss it, we can give input. This year, we will not have it. More than that, there is less interaction with the community than last year.
We haven't addressed that point yet, Tijani, but
okay. Okay, so I come back to the to the operating plan, to the definition of the objectives. What is your starting point to define those objectives? You don't have anything to define them. From where you will bring them?
So, to your point, the input that basically the various functions of the organizations are going to take is pragmatically and simply the activities that are currently happening, that are currently being carried out, one. The old strategic plan, two. And we will obviously have a certain amount of communication during the process, probably a relatively informal, but obviously more formal once we have the draft here, try to also take into account at that phase, which I recognize it's not perfect because it's already at the end of that phase, right? But nonetheless, take into account in the late stage the input from the ICANN strategy panels. So, but honestly, I'll be facetious a bit for a second. In the past years, I don't believe that the output of the strategic process, the way it was formatted, was actually allowing to provide input into the operating plan. And by the way, you guys have consistently indicated that there's no link, clear link, between the strategic planning process and the budget. And I think that's part of the reason why that's the case. So, obviously, what I said is not an ideal situation. This is the consequence of finding ourselves into this interim period again while this strategic plan is being developed.
Xavier, in the past we had always the strategic objectives. And those strategic objectives drove the operating planning in the past. So it wasn't. We didn't work in the blind mode as we are. We will work this year.
Rolf.
Yeah, I think you have to be a bit careful with your communications, Xavier. If you call your present strategic plan the old strategic plan, then everybody thinks that we now have no strategic plan. But there is one. It's not perfect. It's going to be replaced by another one. But if you call it the old one, that's a kind of a disqualification to use it for anything anymore. So I would be careful with that. And I think one of the things that we made a lot of, as SOP, we made a lot of comments about the lack of, connection between the strategic plan and the operational plan. And you can still do that. You can improve that connection by making sure that the objectives that you are going to formulate in, when is it? Somewhere between now and January?
Yeah.
That they are derived from the existing strategy. Cool. And of course, if you see a new strategy coming, you can also take objectives from there. But it was the lack of objectives that made that connection so poor. And you could have been, or it could have been better already with the existing strategic plan. Can you help us a bit in describing what is going to be in this draft operating plan? Is it just going to be a list of objectives, or is it already described how you think you will obtain those? Or that might help, I think, in the discussion.
Maya, can you move to the next slide, please? Next. So, what I've called operating plan, and I do agree with your point, to Jenny, that that's what I was talking about earlier, of clarifying the vocabulary. The operating plan phase that was on the slide, on two slides ago. Objectives by function. So, I'm going there, Rolf, because I'm expecting that this is starting to give an answer to your question. By function, we have... need to remember now, because we're moving things around sometimes, about 8 functions in the organization. What I'm calling function is GSC, so Global Stakeholder Engagement. It's Sally's team with the original VPs. That's one. GDD is another, the Global Domain Division that is led by Akram is another. The Ops, the Operations Division, that is led by Susanna, that has basically the infrastructure, HR, finance, project management, meetings, and so on, is another function. That's a third one. Governance, which includes legal and board support, is another one. So at that level, the objectives to be accomplished by the end of June 2015... And we do expect to use the information and the structure of the information that we have and that we have been using in that task to formulate this. Measuring the resources associated with those objectives, either in total for a department or more specifically for a given objective, if it can be carved out. And when I say resources, I mean... I should have been a little bit more explicit. Headcount and dollars. Yes?
Just a very quick question. So there will be some dollars in the operating plan?
Yes. And these objectives will be distributed across the various activities and projects of an organization. If I take the finance department, objectives for the finance department at the end of June, we have approximately 10 areas of activities. Managing accounts payable, managing accounts receivable and billing, general accounting, managing investments, and so on. I won't list the 10, but that's the level of granularity. For each of these areas, defining an objective by the end of 15. And defining as a result the resources for each of those objectives, and measuring the dollars for this part of the organization. And then accumulating that across all the functions of the organization so that we have a high-level estimate of resources associated with a set of objectives. It is not the full detail, but I'll tell you that I'm convinced that this is the level of information that that I believe input can be provided from the community on provide more clarity in this area. This is, appears missing, or where is it? And this appears like it's in there, but it shouldn't be. Now, I don't think it's necessarily a perfect amount of data, but I think this is a step that allows to actually rationalize what the budget of ICANN is trying to accomplish, how much it costs, and at a stage that allows the community to provide input, and that allows the staff to take input from the community. Because at the end of the day, I don't want, and I know you don't as well, because you've been frustrated in the past, I don't want that we find ourselves again in the position of receiving public comment on the 20th of June that we can't do much about. I'm not happy with it either. You see what I'm saying?
Chuck again. So if with that data, the next fiscal year's financial forecast for each of the functions, and whatever level of detail we go to, we also had the data of the current year, the one we're still in, and how we're doing, what we're projecting, it gives us a frame of reference to see whether or not, you know, you could maybe projecting less, you may be projecting more. That would be very helpful, it seems to me.
So this is how it's going to be built by the departments of the organization, right? We are going to use... we're trying to finalize what we are calling internally the Q1 forecast. The Q1 forecast is the full year forecast based on the Q1 actual data. Q1 for us is July through September. I don't think we're going to have the Q2 forecast finalized sufficiently in time for that phase to be completed with it. But we're going to use the Q1 forecast, which basically, again, gives 12 months of operating budget, let me rephrase, 12 months of financials, spend, and revenues on the basis of the Q1 for actuals. Is as current as we can have it for the time being. And we're going to use that 2014 basis of spend. Each of the departments is going to use that to also determine the objectives that they are going to try to get accomplished by the end of 15. So we need that 2014 reference point. Yes, so we'll have that information. Any further questions or thoughts or comments? Rolf, I see you thinking. Okay. Susanna, I'm assuming you'll jump in as soon as and anytime you want. What did I pass? To the expense of time, let me go to the next slide. So, The budget will have, as we have done this year, but probably in a more detailed fashion than what we have done this year, a little bit of a reconciliation, a variance exercise between FY14 and the budget. Of course, the budget, and I should have laid it out here, will have also a check of what did the operating plan have and is not in there anymore, what is in there that was not in the operating plan phase, and the summarization of the public comment input that was provided and that's been reflected or not in the budget. So comparing basically the output of the operating plan phase with what has made its way or not into the budget. And it will be, of course, more detailed with a breakdown by the portfolio and projects and at task categories of costs and spend by function, which we have not provided in the past. Yes.
Just short question, Harvey. You mentioned the operation plan very effectively several times before. Do we have things in that list out of the operation plan which you currently cannot do with your existing budget? Just to see what, let's say, future challenges we have because the amount of money we have is not as much as it might or should be or so. If you don't have that list, maybe you have in mind what, for example, we cannot do.
I need to go through my mind a bit. I don't have a list now, but through the process of development with the departments, part of the in-depth exercise is when the department submits a budget, they say, well, so what is this accomplishing? And now that we're not going to be able to do, right? So the process enables that. Do I have a list now of what the last process excluded, basically? I don't have it in mind. But just
short comment. Maybe for future discussions of this type, it would be helpful that you had such a list,
yeah,
because it would communicate to all of us what, for good reasons, we cannot yet do, even though it would be good for the organization.
I think it's a very good point, and I think out of the first phase that I've called the operating plan, I think that would make sense to say what we have not put in there because it doesn't fit, which obviously should be an input that the community can provide as well to say, well, maybe we think it should be fitting in the budget instead of something else. So I think that's a very good point. Thank you for that. Chuck.
Yeah. I think you used the word, but I don't see it on your chart that of task level. Again, you've made very clear the operating plan's not going to get down to a greater level of detail. But what we ran into last year is even going into your system and looking at all the detail there, we couldn't see down to a task level in some cases. I couldn't really tell whether there are sufficient funds or not because I couldn't see what was allocated by task.
So, vocabulary again. The what we call the task level in at task is quite detailed. It's quite granular. Send the audited financial statements draft to legal for review. That's the task level. I think what you're thinking is probably the project level. And so we've been working with Carol Cornell to structure the data in that task and to try to harmonize the level of granularity across all the organizations. And we will need to really redetermine what level of granularity we managed to provide during the operating plan and what level of granularity we managed to provide during the budget. And if I take an example, just to make sure I've understood correctly your point, for example, last year, when we provided the program level, the 150 program level, there was one program, therefore, not necessarily further detail in terms of dollars, that was called outreach at 5 million, begs more questions than it gives answers. I think that's what the type of thing you have in mind, right? So that's what we want to try to improve next year with ATASC.
Thanks, Chris Chaplow from the BC. I think parallel to everything we're doing here, it would be very useful to have a dump of the what I call the ATAS spreadsheet, and this is sort of leading on right from what Chuck was saying, at whatever point we can, because you mentioned the 5.5 million. The other one that comes to my mind is the digital engagement, which I understand is 1.9 million, and I can't find it in what I see as a task or my ICANN at all.
Right.
So if you could give us something like that, but even better, one level down at least, and a dump of where we are at that point in time, and we'll churn through that data. Thanks.
Understood. Thank you. We have 20 minutes. Let's move down. I want to be able to spend a certain amount of time on the additional request budget request process. Before I get into this, a couple more generic comments. This process is allowing the community and the various organizations of the community to ask for funding of specific actions or activities. We've put this in place, I think, 3 years ago. I'm viewing this, and that's why I wanted to be able to discuss it with you this morning. I'm viewing this process, and I would like to migrate it to an exception process rather than the rule. What I mean by that is, if an activity that's been requested is a recurring activity, after a year of having funded it, if we have, and tested that activity, we should determine whether it should continue, and therefore it should go in the base budget, or it should not continue, and it's not even necessary to request it anymore in the future. So it shouldn't stay under that process of additional requests. If it's a project, what I'm hoping is that the planning process overall, strategic and operating planning process, the target process that we're going to have in the future is going to enable is, if there is an outreach activity that is of interest or is targeting a specific portion of the community or a specific region, that this outreach activity would have found its place during the development of the strategy for that region or that community or that group, during the development of the strategy or during the development of the operating budget, in communication with the staff who's in charge of that area, to integrate it in the budget because we think that's part of the strategy, or not having integrated it, and that's it. So if we can get to that process, then what finds its way into this process of additional budget request should become really the exception of activities that are too specific or have not been included in the budget. But hopefully it wouldn't be the first time that this request would have been formulated. So I'm hoping that we can migrate it to a more exceptional process. And we will try to carry it like that in the future. And I know that, for example, some organizations have formulated now the same request twice, for example, over the past 2 years, and we have not suggested to fund them. So this is the type of discussion I want to have with those organizations as well, is to try to determine, is it even useful that we continue submitting requests on those? Now, how do we address the subject of the request is something that we need to look at, but I think that bit by bit, the activities that are in this list should become a little bit more exceptional. If we don't manage to capture the subject through the strategic development plan and the operating development plan with the staff, then this process can help catching it. But I would like it to be a plan B rather than a plan A, is basically the point. Yes, please.
Chuck again. Are the criteria going to be developed by staff or staff in conjunction with the community?
So we it seems that staff developing a suggested approach and submitting it for the to the community to comment on is the mode that works best. So what we have a list of criteria that we've developed during the process last year. Rob has concentrated that activity, and we have a fairly detailed document. We're going to send it out probably next week to the working the budget process working group that includes all the chairs as well, so that we can say, this is what we're suggesting to use. Please provide input as to what's not there, what shouldn't be there, should be formulated differently. And we'll try to finalize it towards the end of December. I didn't want to create a relatively long and heavy process of public comment for the criteria for that step, but I'm hoping to get nonetheless feedback and at least consensus of we can work with that. And of course, we'll try to take into account during the phase of evaluation all the comments that we have received on the list of criteria. But we have a document to share in the next week. Yes, Marilyn.
Thank you, Savien. I really value it. Marilyn Cade speaking. I'm the CSG representative from the business constituency, and as many of you know, I've been involved in ICANN's budget process before ICANN had a budget. We really are making a lot of progress, I think, but I want to identify what I consider a significant gap right now. And I'm really glad Adil is here, because I'm going to make a comment about a very strong gap that is concerning me. So as we put the process together about how we take input from the SOAC/SGs, it is not, and Xavier has heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. Budget input cannot come through the GNSO policy chair. That is not the chair of the GNSO. The leadership groups of the constituencies, we all have XCOMs, and we have people who pay attention to this. So we got to make sure that we are distributing the request for information so that we get the right information coming in. And I say that because we've also introduced now a significant shift toward regional strategies. And at least for the business constituency, we need to be able to bring business people more into the participation. Right now, we don't have a good mechanism of ourselves engaging with some of the new growing parts of ICANN, which, you know, we may identify as a gap on our part. But I would say, as we develop this issue about funding support, Xavier, I'm a little bit concerned about this exception process working this year. I want us to go slow enough on it. We're very disappointed about not having some of the things we asked for that we consider critical to our building the capability to receive the new players. And none of that's getting funded. And if the interlocutor is staff, then staff isn't understanding our needs, or they're not being heard when they get into the debate with the bigger voices. That's why I'm glad Suzanne is here. But I really, I think that's a gap, and I bet it's a gap for a number of other people here, as I see the ALAC sitting here, in terms of there are other gaps that I think we're all continuing to work on improving in terms of reporting and accountability. But this is a decisional gap to me where the community is saying we need certain things. The staff is giving us things that we do not consider meet our needs. Money is going to those things, which means it's not going to what we need. And we need to close that gap. I'm going to use an example. We had a breakfast in Beijing for business outreach. We just had another breakfast. There was one person from the local business community in that breakfast. That's a meeting room. That's money. That's time. I want to be as welcoming as possible, but I want to do things in a more cost-effective way so that money can go to support the things that we're trying to build.
So I'm not hearing from you, Marilyn, anything that I don't think we can address. So what I was saying is that I would like that we can move the process to a more exception process because the core or the recurring activities can be captured up front. Captured up front through the budget process of the functions that would normally naturally be the host for the activities that are being requested. If they are not, then I think this process can help catching them. So I'm not suggesting to only look at exceptions today, but the bottom line is that if you are requesting an activity that's not in the plan of the outreach organizations, for example, today, then it will be formulated and reviewed and potentially included. But I think that it would be better and more effective that, and that's what we need to enable, that this activity of outreach would be effectively discussed with the staff and through a strategy and through the community to, as a result of a strategy for a given region or a given type of constituents or for the businesses, for example, and that the activities that you're having in mind that's more cost-effective can be part of that strategy, and therefore it's being funded, and therefore you don't need to request it. So this is the model that I think we need to move towards. Until that's the case, we have this process, is my point. So I'm hoping that clarifies a bit what I was intending to say. Yes.
So it's Robert Guerra with ESSAC. I think what I'm hearing, and I guess from my perspective, is that if there's going to be a shifting to more kind of the ongoing operation and maybe a reduction in the opportunities for additional community budget requests, that needs to be communicated in a very proactive fashion. Some communities are better to react to that. Maybe others are not. As well as if there's any shift in the amount of funding that might be available from the community request, if that goes down, or for I'm hearing there'll going forward over the next year and a half, there'll be additional activities, change in the contingency fund. So I think an update to the community as you do already, but having them be more proactive. And a discussion with them as to when that can happen, I think would be important. It is a short timeline, and some. I think the ESSAC is fine, but I know some of the other stakeholder groups, they have activities over the next couple months that might be a challenge for them to react in a proactive fashion, and so that will be a change I think needs to be communicated. So I know that's been mentioned, but I just want to make that point. Yourself and others that are here really need to make sure that people know that this change may come.
Okay.
And communications is key, because otherwise the additional request pool might not, they've tapped into it in the past and may not be available.
So I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that if we funded 600K of actions last year, we're only going to fund 300K of actions next year. Understood, and I appreciate that. And to try to address, at least with this group, this perception gap, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to move towards a process and a mode where the activities that are currently requested in the 600K can be integrated into the plan that's budgeted for as part of the base budget, so that they don't have to be formulated as. So I'm not. No, I agree. I think this is a good point and that's helpful. Thank you. Yes.
Christina Rosette, IPC. The question and suggestion I have, I apologize if it was something you covered at the beginning. I was actually at the breakfast that Marilyn was talking about where we were waiting for business people to arrive. You know, first off, I would note that I completely agree with many of the comments that Marilyn made. I think that one suggestion, I guess a request and a suggestion, the request would be that in terms of this exception process, and I think this is the direction, if I understood you correctly, that ICANN is heading, is to introduce it slowly, to not go from 0 to 100 miles an hour, to, you know, phase it in over time. The other thing that I think would be particularly helpful for the IPC and may more broadly to the CSG and actually beyond would be to have an opportunity as we're developing our budget requests to perhaps have a chance to talk with you and your staff to say, this is what we're thinking of. This is the bucket we're anticipating putting it in. You know, if you know now that this is a request that would be rejected because we're putting it in the wrong bucket, or there's been a decision made that these requests just aren't going to be approved, that's helpful to know. We may decide to still go ahead and do it, but at least there's some expectation. And similarly, I think after the budget requests are put in, I think it would be helpful for after kind of the initial review, and there's been time within your department for folks to kind of consider them and think about them, to set up a call with the requesting entities to say, okay, let's just go over these. We want to make sure that what we think you're asking for is, in fact, what you're asking for, so that we're responding to the requests that you're making.
Thank you. So in one of those slides, which I haven't not gone over yet, there's that question as to whether can we have right at the time that the organizations are ready to submit their request, can we have a conversation beyond just submitting a format that is going to help us understand better the rationale and the activity and, to your point, evaluate whether it's already covered somewhere else or it should be communicated to the part of the staff where that activity would normally be carried out. And to have another communication point after the results to talk about how do we implement those actions that have been funded and have a direct immediate conversation on that, because I know we've struggled with the gaining momentum on implementing those actions that were funded, and also explain why these actions that have been requested were not funded. So I take your point. I was pointing to Rob because he and I have had a conversation, and I asked him, can we try to organize this? We're struggling a little bit with the bandwidth requirement associated with that, because what you're asking is obviously not something that we would answer only for your group. We would answer it to everyone, and that's therefore between 5 and 10 calls in. It's a demanding exercise, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. Rob and I have a call this afternoon at 3 to try to plan for exactly that with the person that's working in my staff on the budget process. That's exactly the purpose of that call. So we are conscious of trying to have a better and more proactive and interactive communication about this process. It's just a bit demanding in resources, but I understand your point. I think I agree with the fact that it would help. So we'll try to go down that path.
And if I may, and Rob did have a call afterwards, I think, with the CSG that I thought was helpful. One thing that left kind of a bitter taste in our mouths over the budget process was kind of inconsistency in application and approval for similar requests among, yes. And I think it's really critical that, to the greatest extent possible, that those be treated consistently. And if they're not, that there be a published explanation as to why. Because otherwise, you're just left to kind of imagine what the reason is. And generally, the outcome of that is not going to be positive.
So I understand. It makes sense. I will tell you, to the expense of sounding a bit dramatic, that my biggest focus when reviewing those requests is fairness. And why? One, I shouldn't be looking at content. Why would the CFO have an opinion, or should have an opinion, and a valid one, on whether or not a breakfast should happen in South America or not? I shouldn't. I don't want to look at content. I'm not qualified to look at content. What I try to do in the group that reviews those requests is try to address that. And certainly we're not perfect at it. We've realized afterwards, oh, we missed that one. And yes, it's actually inconsistent. But so we do look at that, and we will try to make sure we don't have too much exceptions to managing to be consistent. By the way, consistent and fair or relative notions, but at least what we are going to try to do a little bit of a better job at is ensuring that we don't have inconsistencies, and we've had at least one that I know that I remember this past year, and also improving the formulation of the rationale for the decision, which I think is going to help doing that. And by the way, when we do that, sometimes we realize that we have created inconsistencies. And I'm thinking that if we can implement the call on the results, first of all, the call on once you've submitted your request and we know what they are, trying to understand them better is going to help us avoid that. And then on the back end, we will be better able to also rationalize and formulate the rationale for the request. So I'm hoping that the little bits that we're trying to do are going to help to do that. And also the criteria that we're going to share, I'm hoping up front, is going to help us categorize a little bit the request in such a fashion that it'll be a little bit easier to say, well, this is the same thing. Yes, we are at the end of the scheduled session. I would like to mention two things. It's going to take me 5 minutes. Maya, can you put the annual report, please, on the screen? So you know that ICANN produces an annual report, which is coming towards the end of its development and preparation. Is going to be issued soon. An annual report on its past year's activity. So FY13 is the annual report that's currently being finalized. Historically, from a financial standpoint, this annual report included, to be really clear, a PDF of the auditor's report, which includes the auditor's report, the financial statements, and the notes to the financial statements that were audited. So we've done that this year again, but we've also included a financial overview section in the body of this annual report in a more similar fashion to what other companies do, notably listed companies. It's a relatively short section, but I think it's a reasonably good start, and it helps providing a bit of understanding in addition to the audit audited financial statements which don't provide any comments. This section provides a little bit of comment on it. Can we? I will not go into the content, but I want to show you what is in there. This is a preview of it. It's not yet finalized. It's the annual report starts with a letter from the CEO, letter from the board chair, which, if you've seen past versions, you know. Next pages, highlights of the year. Please go through again. And page 8 of the annual report, at least in the current draft. We start an overview, a financial overview. It starts with what we call the funds under management. You have a graph here that shows the position of the funds under management at the end of FY12, at the end of FY13, and at the end of September 13. So this is the end of our fiscal year, but this is the end of September to provide the most recent set of information. Funds under management includes the new GTLD unspent funds, the reserve fund of ICANN, and the operating fund of ICANN, which is basically cash on hand. Yes. So it provides understanding of what that is, what has mainly impacted what events have impacted these funds over the past year, and provides a certain amount of comments on that. Next page. So left page, right page. A cash flow synopsis. We started with this amount of funds. We have collected money, spent money. This is the position at the end of 2012. We have collected money, spent money on a number of things. This is the position at the end of 2013. Providing a certain amount of comment on that. So, for example, you can't read it there, but we've collected money from our contracted parties. That's the 16 million that's there. We spent money with vendors. That's the 100 million that's there. The 103 million includes, from memory, 64 million for the new GTLD program. We've paid employees. We have a number of other transactions like capital expenditures and so on. And this is the end of your position. So it provides at least a certain amount of understanding, a relatively high level of what has affected our cash over the past 2 years in this case. We're looking at 2 years, and our annual report looks at the end of FY13. Statement of financial position. In other worlds, we call that a balance sheet. Relatively high level.
Xavier?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt. How much time do you need? Because we are overrunning. I have another meeting.
I need 2 more minutes.
Okay.
The balance sheet there reflects the same information that's in the audited financial statements, but with a certain amount of comment. And next slide is the statement of activities or the P&L. Also in the format of the audited financial statements with a certain amount of comments. That's the end of the financial overview section. Your input on the information that is there or is not there will be helpful. This is a relatively short section for an annual report. Other companies may have sometimes a lot more detail than that. This is a first take at it, but I think it helps providing to a wider audience a certain amount of information. The last comment I want to make is that we have now produced with the board and the finance committee of the board 4 quarterly reports, financial reports, over the past 9 months. We've provided them with the Q4 FY13 report. The Q2, Q3, Q4 FY13 reports. We've just provided them with the Q1 FY14 quarterly report. This is a financial statement report that provides a certain amount of comments between actual and budget on what's happened during the first 3 months of the year. We're going to publish this. And my intent is to publish it next week, but I need to finalize the planning with Shireen. No, this is the annual report. I am talking about a separate quarterly financial report that we have produced to the BFC for the past four quarters and that we're going to now publish every quarter. This one is yet a draft. It's the annual report. Duncan was here a little bit earlier. I don't remember the exact date of publication, but it's in the next few weeks. It's not yet available. You have a preview of it. And that's it. Thank you for your participation. Sorry that we started late and finished late for the good reasons, I think. But thank you for your participation, and we'll follow up more.